Paul was preaching on Mars Hill, overlooking the city of Athens, Greece. Athens, Greece, 2,000 years ago, was the philosophical and cultural center of the world. And here comes Paul, preaching something absolutely new to the people who were gathered on Mars Hill to hear him preach. Verse 18 says that he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. It was the first time these people had ever heard of the resurrection of the dead. No other religion in all the world teaches a bodily resurrection from the dead except Christianity. And so these people were all followers of pagan religions, and this was absolutely new to them. In fact, the next verse says, may we know what this new doctrine. It was a new doctrine to them. It was something they had never heard before. It was strange. A bodily resurrection from the dead. And the chapter goes on. And at the close of the chapter, we see their reaction to the preaching of the resurrection. People are pretty much the same the world over. Do you know that? And whenever they hear the gospel, they react pretty much the same way. Let's read this together and see how these people reacted to the preaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 32, 33, and verse 34. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And the others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Here the Bible outlines itself, and it gives us three reactions to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Some mocked, some delayed, and some believed. And friend, wherever the gospel is preached, that's pretty much the reaction that's going to happen to the people who hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we should not be surprised that some mocked. Some have always mocked. First of all, some mocked. They heard of the resurrection of the dead. They heard of Jesus Christ dying for their sin, and they mocked that. They mocked the preaching of Paul. Well, some mocked Noah. Whenever Noah was building that ark, the crowd came up, and as he was pounding those dowels in the deck and he was making everything waterproof, well, there was a crowd that came up and said, hey, what you up there building a boat for, man? It hadn't even rained on the earth yet. And up until that time, it had not rained. Here he was building an ark. And they laughed at him. And they made fun and they mocked. But then the rains did come. And the Bible says the water sprang up from the earth as well. And the flood came. And soon it was up to their knees. And then it was over their shoulders, and they were crying out, and they were scratching and clawing and trying to get inside that ark. But the Bible says that God shut the door. Now, friend, whenever God shuts the door, no man can open the door. Right. And all perish except for what was inside the ark. Now, the door of salvation is wide open right now. Whosoever will may come. But I want to tell you something, friend, that's not always going to be. It's not always going to be. One day the last person is going to enter into the family of God and enter into Christ. And I'll tell you what, God's going to shut the door. Destruction will come. Some mocked Lot. His sons-in-law mocked him. He went to his sons-in-law and knocked on their door and says, "Up, get you out of this place, for God shall destroy the city." And they looked at him as one that mocked. Remember a few years ago, been more than a few now, Jesus Christ Superstar? That was just a mockery of God. Sought to bring deity down to the level of a mere man. And that was followed by an even more wicked movie from Hollywood, The Last Temptation. All were just, and Jesus of Montreal, all were just a mockery. Men mock today. As shortly after I got out of Bible college, I started a new church. This is, pastored 5 years before going into evangelism, and I started two churches, one in Cape Coral, Florida. And I started the church by renting a building. It was a civic club, as I remember, where they played cards and such. And I rented it on Sunday. And at first it was just me and my wife, Cheryl. And that was all. The first services there was just me and her. So I'd preach to Cheryl. She needed the preaching. I needed the practice too. So it worked out for both of us. After a while we gathered up some people and we bought some property and we built a small building, kind of like a little chapel building. And I was a subcontractor on the building, and I hired other guys to do the electrical and the plumbing and concrete and all that. And there were several of us working on this building one day, and I was talking to them about how that the Lord is going to come back soon. And I'd hired a fellow who was a deacon in a Baptist church in our area to do the plumbing work. I'll never forget what that fellow said. He looked up and he said, "You know what? I don't believe Jesus is coming back. I've been hearing that since I was a little boy, and the Lord has not come back yet." I said, "Well now, sir, you're a very indication that the coming of the Lord is near. Because Peter said that in the last days, scoffers would come saying, 'Where is the sign of his coming?' And you're a scoffer." And I'll tell you what, he wouldn't be a deacon in my church. He wasn't a real good plumber, much less a deacon. Some mocked. Some have always mocked. And we're living in a day when this seems to be on the increase. But that should not discourage us, because, friend, there's always been that element in every society. But there was another group of people there that day. And I think most likely they were the larger group. Some delayed. Paul gave his testimony to Felix, and Felix replied, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee," in Acts 24, verse 25. "I don't think I'm going to be saved today, Preacher Paul. I want more time to think about it." I might be saved next time you come through. And next time I hear you, I'll think this over. And next time I hear you, I might be saved then. Things are just not going to work out for me to get saved right now. Some delayed. Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa in Acts 26 and 28. Almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian, King said, King Agrippa. Did you know something? The Bible falls absolutely silent on these two men after Acts 26. It never mentions either one of them again. As far as we know, Felix and Agrippa are in hell tonight. When I was starting this church, one in Florida and another one in Charlotte, North Carolina, I got a telephone call from a lady who said, "Preacher, would you come down to the hospital and lead my husband to the Lord? He's always wanted to be saved. And he's in emergency, in the emergency room right now, and he's had a heart problem, and they've operated on him, and would you come down to the hospital?" I said, "I sure will." I did not know these people. I didn't ever find out how they even got my name. They heard about me somewhere. Someone told them. I went down to the hospital. I went up to the floor where he was on, and I introduced myself to the people in the waiting room, and I said, "Herbert Lane is here, and I'm looking for Herbert Lane. Do you know him?" And the lady says, "Yes, he's my husband, and I'm the one that called you." She said, "Herbert's always wanted to be saved. He's 52 years old, and he had open heart surgery, and the doctors told him everything's going to be okay. But the only problem was he went into a coma right after the operation." I went into the room where he was, and his lips were purple, and his face was as white as a sheet he was laying on. And there was a machine above his head, and it was measuring the strength of every breath that he took. And after a few moments, I was outside in the waiting room, and right behind me came the doctor, and the doctor says, "Herbert's gone. Herbert's gone. Herbert always wanted to be saved. But you see, he delayed too long. He put it off too long. He wanted to be saved. He intended to be saved." Someone said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. People that intend on being saved someday. But not today. Not right now. If the devil just had one weapon in all his vast arsenal that he could use against us, and he uses multitudes of weapons against us, but I think if God gave him only one weapon that he could use against us, I think I know what it would be. It would be delay. It worked. As far as I know, as far as I humanly know, Herbert Lane never did get saved. From a human, only God knows for sure. But from a human perspective, when you look at it from the human side, I don't know that Herbert Lane ever did trust Jesus Christ as a Savior. Well, there's someone else here. There's others. Some mocked. Some delayed. But in one of the most difficult places in all the world to preach the gospel, Athens, Greece, some people believed even there. Amen? You see, being a philosophical sinner and a cultural center of the world, these people were very much like they were an educational center of the world 2,000 years ago. These people thought that they were pretty smart. That's always a difficult crowd to work with when you start doing soul winning work. They already had all the answers. They already had all the answers. They thought they had everything figured out. And they thought that they would figure this out too. Always a difficult crowd. But even in a place like that, some believed, the Bible says. Some believed. And wrapped up in this one word, believed, is repentance. There cannot be any salvation without repentance. And in independent Baptist churches today, there is an easy believism going on that disregards repentance as far as salvation is concerned, and is filling up independent Baptist churches with a lot of unsaved people. They never repented of their sin. They just mouthed some words. Listen, friend, there's more to being saved than just mouthing some words. Let me tell you what repentance is. Repentance means you're going in one direction and you turn your back. You're going towards sin. You turn your back on sin and you go in the other direction. That is repentance. And so whenever people mouth a few words saying that they're saved and there's no change in their life, they never got saved. They're fooling themselves and fooling others as well. But they're not fooling God. Some believed. Wrapped up in this one word, believed, is repentance. And understanding that we're sinners and we're lost. We're all lost. We're all born lost. And we need to be born again. Recognition that Christ died for us. There was a purpose for him going to the Calvary and a purpose for his death, and that was to pay for our sin. And then Jesus was buried. On the third day, Jesus arose. And because he lives, we can live also. I've been to Buffalo, New York several times. Our family's been to Niagara Falls several times. Perhaps you have too. And if you go across the Niagara River from Buffalo, New York, into Canada, you'll go across that bridge, and you look over to your left and you'll see a beautiful scene there of the falls, Niagara Falls. But let your eye find the Canadian horizon as you're on top of that bridge going into Canada. Look up to the horizon. There's a hill. There's a gently sloping hill. And on the top of that hill, there's a hotel. Then let your eye fall down into the courtyard of that hotel, and you'll see it from the bridge. You'll see a bronze statue of a man who lived 100 years ago or more. His name was Blondin. Blondin was a daredevil. He was the evil Knievel of his day. And he would think up all these crazy stunts to do, and he would put in the newspaper that he was going to do it, and thousands of people would gather there to hear him perform these stunts that he had thought up. And one of the things that he thought up doing was he thought he would walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And so Blondin stretched a 5/8-inch steel cable from Goat Island over to Canada, Canadian side. And he walked across Niagara Falls on that tightrope. He had one of these long poles to balance himself with. He walked over to Goat Island, and then he came back to the Canadian side. He said to these thousands of people who had gathered there to see him do this great daredevil stunt, he said, "You just saw me walk across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. Now, how many of you believe that I can do it again with one of you perched up on my shoulders. And they all said, yes, yes, I believe you can do it. Go ahead and do it. He says, okay, how about you? And the guy said, no, no, not me. You see what that crowd was doing? They were giving a mental assent to the fact that Blondie could not only walk across Niagara Falls, but he could do it with someone perched up on his shoulders. They were giving a mental assent, but they didn't believe it in their heart. Not enough to jump up there on his shoulders. Many people give a mental assent. I never was an atheist. I never had any doubt before I was saved at age 23. I never had any doubt that there once was a person named Jesus Christ who lived in this world some 2,000 years ago. I wasn't saved, but I wasn't an atheist. You see, one has to have more than just a mental assent to the fact that Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary and he died on Calvary for them. And so tonight, if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you see yourself and you understand that you are a sinner, as all of us were born sinners. You understand that and you see that. And you have no other means, you have no other way of salvation but Jesus Christ. You have come to the end of yourself. And all of your self-effort and all that you might do, none will suffice for salvation. Only Jesus saves. Cast yourself upon his mercy tonight. Amen. Jesus himself said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I'm going to draw for you what it might have looked like that morning, that resurrection morning. Mary came to the tomb, you remember. She thought she heard a voice behind her, thinking it was the gardener, but it was not the gardener. It was Jesus. He had arisen just as he said he would.
Pray. Don't wait until hear him say, "It's too late." Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at the Father's side. Gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated. Gone, and he lives forever.
Is there to prove my Savior lives?
Stand together, please, every head bowed. How about you, friend? Every head bowed tonight. God wants to save everyone. Did you know that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants everybody to be saved, and He wants you to be saved tonight. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, would you just step out of your seat right now, come right down the aisle? Someone's going to be here to meet you, help you, take the Bible and show you how to be saved. I wonder how many can raise their hand saying, "Preacher, I'm already saved. I know I'm going to go to heaven." And according to what the Bible says, would you just raise your hand real high for us? Thank you so much. You could put that hand back down. Thank you. I wonder if there's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who might say, "Preacher, I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. I really don't know whether I'm going to heaven or whether I'm going to hell when I die, but would you pray for me right now, preacher?" Is there someone like that? Just lift up your hand. I want to include you in the prayer. I want to include you in the prayer tonight. Anybody like that? Father, thank you for your goodness. And we are assured that your word shall not return void, but shall accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And God, I pray that you would speak to hearts in great power tonight. Help us to see some things we've not seen before, and help us to respond as you would have us do. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen. We're going to sing "Just As I Am," and as we sing that song, won't you come tonight? It might be that you need to join this church. It might be that you would just like to come and pray. You're welcome to come. Whatever your need, if you need to be saved, you come right down the aisle. Come on. Whatever your need. Come on.
Just as I am, without one plea, was shed for me. Come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
I'm going to sing another verse. And as we sing this other verse, if God's spoken to you about one matter or another, won't you come? You'll be glad you did, friend. Come on. Come on.
Just as I am, and waiting not.
Others might come tonight. Come on. Come on.
But, O Lamb of God, I come.
Cheryl's going to sing that third verse for us. As she does, you respond as the Lord leads tonight. Come on.
Thank you that salvation is free in Jesus Christ. It cost us nothing, but it cost you your Son. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray you'd help us to appreciate and have the joy of our salvation. Once saved, once anybody's lost, Lord, I pray you convict them, help them to realize their need of a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you would have a seat, and then the ones who get the pictures.
Okay, let's have some of you men help me, if you will, take this picture off over here. Two boys or men, either one. Some of you guys can help us over here too, okay? I think this one, yeah. Two guys each picture. What about that one right there?